You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, good morning. It is a beautiful day because we are breathing and we are walking and we're living. Maybe you aren't walking with your legs. Maybe you can't use your legs, but we are walking on this road sure enough. No matter what we've lost along the way, no matter what we have been, has been taken away, no matter what we gave away, we are totally walking on this path of life and we're walking together. And that is the only way we can do this, is together. The most isolated people in the world often ask and wonder, well, how in the world? All I hear is we need to have support from each other and put your eyes toward your family. And it seems like we think that there's a certain toolbox that is necessary to keep walking this path. The toolbox is ethereal. God has his own toolbox and he keeps replacing your toolbox. So if you give away parts of you, your emotions, your body, your mind, your commitments, your addictions, whatever it is that you've actually taken parts of you and without intending to, you've actually sacrificed them along the way to the God of a relationship or to the God of misguided religion or to the God of pornography or the God of alcohol, the God of meth, the God of heroin, the God of wanting too much for yourself, the God of perfection, the God of wanting to be the best mother, the best Catholic, the most pious person, the most sacrificial lamb, the best husband, the most sacrificial person where you have nothing left of you. These are all gods, and we don't always go to that place because some of them seem like pretty no-brainers. They seem like, yeah, I get that. I know what it is to worship a false idol of perfection, of beauty, of no wrinkles, of best abs, of no gravity, no gravity in life. And all you out there, I swear, men and women, but women, you know what I'm talking about. We are like, oh my gosh, we try to deny gravity. And I have to add in here, there's a healthy balance in everything. You don't have to say, well, then I'll just let everything go and be unhealthy or not want to be your best or look your best, because sometimes looking your best actually is your charism. It actually is your key to being Christ shining through you, because there may be somebody out there who will not look at you any other way, who will not speak to you any. They won't hear what you have to say if you fit that preconceived notion. Now, you cannot decide, because you cannot decide, I want to be that one. I used to always say, why can't I want to be the beach doctor in Malibu? You know, that's not who I am. I mean, it's like a little fantasy out there. Wouldn't that be awesome to be the hotel beach doctor, you know, and treat sunburns? But no, God put me in with the torn and the weary and the broken and the self-destructive and the tortured. That's where he put me. You know, and how and why did he put me there? Well, he may not have designed that as he knit me in the womb, just like he may not have designed exactly where you, he knew this is where you will end up. This is where, not end up like it's a bad thing. This is the path that will happen to you. And because of all my little sheep having all their free will, this other little sheep will end up ostracized, will end up thinking they're less than, will end up thinking being traumatized, end up being molested, end up being beaten up, end up being in a war they shouldn't be in, too young, all those things. And so therefore, I know that this person who is in this position will come across somebody 20 years down the road and will save their life just by the very act of who they are. So going back to this idea of there's nothing wrong. Sometimes religious people think there's something wrong with wanting to put on makeup and liking the way you look, putting on clothes that flatter you. Sometimes that will be the ticket because there's a preconceived notion. There are a lot of women out there who've been molested by men and molested by preachers who stay away from all church and have even stayed away from God because God is considered male. And they don't do it out of anger and defiance. They may act that way. They do it because they're broken inside, because little girls got harmed by males and they learned early on. I'm not going to say they're broken. They were broke because a male abused their position, their power, the laws of nature, and taught them. Men, you teach girls who men are. You teach them who they are. So there isn't a little girl or a little boy out there that has gotten abused, misused, harmed, no matter where on the spectrum that lies, that does not, one, turn it in on themselves and feel they are defective or this wouldn't have happened. Two, distrust their protectors or caregivers because they should have protected them. And three, if those people that harmed them were their protectors, that's a double whammy. But four, it also teaches early on, and the earlier the abuse, the more nebulous it gets. You can't point your finger to what happened to you. And so you grow up with this distrust. So there isn't a little girl or a little boy out there that is not distrustful of the gender that harmed them, or the gender that didn't protect them. So it might be all genders. So, you know, there's all these things. Now, all that said is to keep in mind. So therefore, in this beautiful tapestry of life, you cannot make the decision that if I just dress this way, I'll garner this kind of person. You can do that. I mean, marketing does that all the time. But if you're really a truly sincere person, you just being you is going to be a lifesaver for some human being that you may just run into. You don't have to have that as your profession or your vocation. You can, and a lot of people do, and they do awesome things. My vocation is to help the victims of human trafficking. I mean, that's a statement, that is a need, and that is there, and that's what they do. So you yourself be you. Now, we have a little interesting snafu with that. The very you that has a heart of compassion most likely is the you that sees in others what you cannot correct in your, or what you cannot undo in yourself. So you see in others, you have compassion toward those others. You can pick out, even if you're 40 years old or 45, you pick out those people without even knowing it that have been abused or that have been through trauma. And you somehow end up finding yourself in a conversation or perhaps have compassion for them. So what the key is now, we want to talk about the difference between action versus reaction, the difference between thinking you know yourself and actually knowing yourself. Now, knowing yourself is a lifelong conquest, and it is not selfish or prideful. Knowing yourself is, how can you love your neighbor as yourself if you don't know yourself? So it's a lifelong process. It's not something you should have done by now. I don't care how old you are. It is not something you should have done, because it is really virtually impossible, because the final self you're going to find is the part that reconnects with God, and you can't understand God. And so you just have to keep opening and opening and opening and opening. So this program, we're going to go back to my old friend who I don't know, but whose books I love, Robert J. Wicks. We're going to go back to Riding the Dragon, talk a little bit about something he brought up about in his life, just one day, not even knowing why he was having the feelings he was having. He chose to answer the question that turned out to be extremely, it's one of those things, it's the scalpel that lanced the boil. Comes home from work, has a lovely wife. I don't know his background, but it sounds like it's a very one we'd all wish we had. You know, you have a family, you have a wife, you have a job, you continue on that job, you're not filled with chaos. But he walks in and his wife asks him, "How are you doing? How was your day?" And his first response was going to be fine, because it really was fine on one layer. But instead, he just looked at her and said, "Terrible." And she said, "What happened?" I'm quoting from this book, Riding the Dragon. She said, well, I'm not quoting, I'm paraphrasing. She said, "What happened?" And he thought a minute and he said, "Nothing. But all I know is when you asked me the question, how was my day, all I wanted to do was cry." And that, I mean, I've felt that. Have you felt that? You don't even know where it comes from. Someone says, "Would you like the blue popsicle or the red popsicle?" And you go, you just want to cry for a reason you don't understand, because you're always working. You're like a volcano under the surface. You're always working on you and on your connection with life and with God. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the difference between action and reaction. We're going to read a little bit about what it means to reach that spiritual basement. So get your coffee. We will see you after the break. I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4BREAD-4 is our telephone number. You can call and remain anonymous. You can also email me at dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can call. You can also text. Any question, any comment, any thought, perhaps there's something that's been bothering you, something you don't really understand, how you fit all these different parts of your life together. Now, before I talk about action and reaction, before I also talk about that basement that was brought up by Robert J. Wicks, he was talking about his spiritual basement that he just found himself in. Before I really go into that, I want to read something to you and then connect the dots to today. And to I do not get political on this program at all. I just don't, because one, I don't get it. That's number one. Number two, I am so wounded by past realities as far as like thinking I know anything. I don't mean wounded because they all hurt me so badly. I mean wounded because I think I know something and then I'm so wrong that I just don't go there, even in my own head. I have a thought, but I see maybe it's because of what's my nature, and it's also, you know, what I've been following all these years. I kind of see this huge giant picture of repeated patterns of some things that seem so obvious to me, and either the world doesn't care, or because I react to it too. But to back way up, way, 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 way up, and get like a God's eye view or a satellite view of these, you know, if you've ever been in an airplane, which many of you have, is looking down and seeing as you're coming into a city, seeing these little tiny pinpoints, like little ants, if it's daylight, or little tiny pinpoints of light. They're cars. Some of them big cars, some of them big trucks. It's just like little, the buildings look like nothing. Because that's what we really are. We're teeny, tiny, tiny, tiny. But in our own world, we're big, big, big. It's all perspective. So I'm going to read to you from Luke real fast. There is a thing from Luke I just happened upon that I thought, you know, this really makes sense to me. It says, be on the alert. This is from the Jerusalem Bible, which I just love. Not the New Jerusalem, but the Jerusalem. I love the interpretations and I love all the annotations. Anyway, it's Luke. Let's see where it comes from. Luke. It looks like chapter 20. No, it doesn't. Chapter 21. Right around, I think, I don't know. I can't see where it is. All right, because I wrote it down. Anyway, so anyway, it's in Luke, and it's right before the Passion. So you can kind of get it there. It's like right before the Passion, where Jesus is teaching in the temple. So I think it's somewhere around 21. Anyway, it says, be on the alert. It says, watch yourselves or your hearts will be coarsened with debauchery and drunkenness and the cares of life. And that day will be sprung on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come down on every living man on the face of the earth. Stay awake, praying at all times for the strength to survive all that is going on, that is going to happen, and to stand with confidence before the Son of Man. All right. So the thing that gets me there, and this is what I want to talk to you about, three words, cares of life. So here we go. Watch yourselves or your hearts will be coarsened with debauchery and drunkenness. So we all go, oh yeah, debauchery and drunkenness. I'm not going there, or I know how not to go there, or I've gone there and gone to confession. But is equal measure, equal weight, it says, and the cares of life. So let's get rid of debauchery and drunkenness, because that has debauchery and drunkenness and cares of life. So let's just put, watch yourselves or your hearts will be coarsened with the cares of life. And that day will be sprung on you suddenly like a trap. So those of you who are involved in debauchery and drunkenness and pretending it's not a problem, no matter what that debauchery and drunkenness is it an emotional affair at work? Is it drunkenness on your own piety? Is it actual substances? Is it too much internet shopping? What is it? It's so weird. We tend to really pray and put our heads together for those who are afflicted with addictions. And then we go home and ladies and mostly and start shopping or getting, you know, hooked on Pinterest for 4 or 5 hours. That can be a trap. It can also be okay. And it can also be an all right diversion, just like playing tennis would be. But it's, again, when does something get to be an addiction? When does it become to coarsen your heart? When do you exercise for health? And when does it go over to mask your eating disorder? You know, these are all places on a spectrum, but the cares of life, and that day will be sprung on you suddenly like a trap. So here's my thought, and here's what happens to me. We have a new president, and I don't care who that president is, but it's pretty obvious that if you have a president in which whoever, whatever, I don't know, it sounds like a conspiracy, but I don't think it is. It is more where we're at. It's a club mentality. It's a group mentality. And so if your club happens to be the one that holds a certain ideology and has also a certain place in the society where they can bring forth in very attractive and very, very prominent ways their own beliefs only veiled as something else, you're going to get that. If you notice, again, I'm not making a political statement, but I used to wonder, I may love Obama. I may have loved everything that he did. However, you can't help but notice that the day he took office, the ticker tapes of how many lives were lost in war was gone. When George W. Bush was in office, every single day, every news story was, and this many people died. I hate war. I'm going to say that right now. And like I saw in a comedy once, they said, oh, that's a real bold statement. Well, yeah, who doesn't hate war? There are people out there who don't hate war. They don't want to fight in it. They want someone else to fight in it. They love war. People love to war. There are certain people who take out their rage in war. But the whole point is now, so we have a whole time where we don't really have much negativity. I got used to not a lot of negativity about two terms of a president. We have a president now. He's our president. So he is our president. If he's really bad, we need to not have him happen. You know, we need to be aware always. There are wolves in sheep's clothing in all stripes. And just because there's wolves in sheep's clothing that are against him doesn't mean there's wolves in sheep's clothing that are for him. I don't care who he is. But it's only been a matter of a couple weeks. And there isn't a second of a day that goes on where every single breath, every single thing, every single thought is how bad he is. Now, many of the things that there's huge protest on that we've seen, again, half of them I wasn't even aware existed, and most of the country didn't. Why? Because they already did exist. They just kind of got downplayed. So I don't understand. I'm not making a political statement about the pipeline we were recently having protest about, or fences, or this or that. But the reality is there are pictures of these things from 5 years ago, 6 years ago. He wasn't president then, but I never even knew they existed. I'm sure there were protests. But a lot of these things may have gotten stopped. Maybe they were bad, but you just didn't hear about them. Now, all of a sudden, it's as if he created them. He did not create them. Now, maybe he's carrying out something bad. But again, see all this time now, I've spent an entire segment on what? The cares of the day. That you don't know the time. I am now avoiding certain things I read every single day because I'm just so tired of hearing every single positive thing attributed to this horrible person. It's almost like a swarm of locusts came down. Now, I'm not defending. I don't even know. All I know is that if I'm not careful, I'm going to be just consuming. What are they talking about here? What are they doing here? What's happening? What's going on? Maybe it is horrible. Maybe this is hot. This is awful. So we don't know, but all I know is we really don't have much new to go on. We have things that have already been put in place that are either highlighted during one administration and downplayed in another, but they've already been going. Whatever pipeline they're talking about in South Dakota, that's not new. It's now being highlighted. Is it bad? It might be. Does it need to be gone? Maybe it does. But here's my statement, is that it's a continuum. These projects, these things have been going on. And depending on the wave, the care of the day, they're either brought to light and surfaced or they're buried and hidden. And we are really pretty powerless because we're only allowed a tidbit, a snapshot, and it is all charged with emotion. So that's going to lead me to, are you acting or reacting in your personal life? Am I acting or reacting in my personal life? How do we tell the difference? We'll answer those questions on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. Get your croissant, your muffin, your apple, your coffee, your water. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, And you are walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. You can certainly give me a call at 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4, and you can email me dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can text 573-4-BREAD-4 as well. So putting some of this stuff together, because it all does fit together, everything from wanting to look your best down to what's happening in the world. But Luke said it so well. He said it so well. And this was right after, I'm going to go a little bit above what I read to you in chapter 21. This is when Jesus tells him the parable. He said, he told them a parable. Think of the fig tree, and indeed every tree. As soon as you see them bud, you know that summer is now near. So with you, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you solemnly, before this generation has passed away, all will have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I'm going to read that other part again. Watch yourselves, or your hearts will be coarsened with debauchery and drunkenness and the cares of life. And that day will be sprung on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come down on every living man on the face of this earth. Stay awake, praying at all times for the strength to survive all that is going to happen and to stand with confidence before the Son of Man. Now, there's probably not a generation around. I'm going to take that back. There probably is a generation around, but there's probably not very often do we see generations where someone in that generation or some group thinks it is end times. And yet we go on. One day there will be an end time. Is it 5 million years from now? 5 billion years from now? 5 minutes from now? Right now? We don't know. We don't know. So it's foolishness, and it is debauchery and drunkenness, to get ourselves so wrapped up in a self-righteous, these are the end times, because look what's happening. Either you hate your new president and therefore it's the end times, or you love your new president and hate that everyone hates him and you think it's the end times. There are so many, I've run into about 5 or 6 people this last week who are quoting all kinds of scripture about, you know, what's going to happen. And, you know, sometimes they even use that for persons who are having troubles in their lives or somebody who's really harmed them or stolen from them. It's like, well, you know, God says they'll get whatever. No, I'm just like saying, no, I'm putting my foot down. We live right now. That's all we have. And if you're struggling, if you're hurt, if you think you're running out of money, if you are not sure how you feel in your relationship and your marriage, if you're having a child that's really hurting or that you don't know how to deal with, or you're afraid to look too further, or it's your own spiritual crisis, this is 100% important. And it's not selfish or prideful. You have to be you. You have to not let your mind get taken on drunkenness or the cares of the day or debauchery. Now, you can debauch, as I said before. Think about it for a minute. You can debauch the course of your life by trying to be too pious, making the decisions on what that means, shutting God out because you're saying too many novenas. That doesn't mean novenas are bad. I say them all the time. But sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes I say a novena and I start sticking stuff in there that is already moot. It's already been answered, you know, but I'm just in the habit of saying it. I one time said the same thing I used to say when my mother was alive about my mother. And I thought, oh my gosh, she's been dead for 5 years. And now I just automatically put that in there. I'm obviously not concentrating. I'm obviously not open to this moment. And sometimes you just have to stop, back up, and open. So what is the difference between action and reaction? This is a spiritual question. This is a psychological question. We oftentimes think we've dealt with pains and problems of the past because we can say them as if we're reciting off of a menu. And because we're not in a mental institution, or we're not self-harming, or we aren't embroiled in some obvious addiction, so we think we've dealt with them. We think we are a person of action because we say yes to everything that comes our way. We're on every committee that we can't say no to committees. We can't say no to someone else who wants us there for their child's recital. We just can't say no. That's not an action. That's not a person of action. That's a person of reaction, even though they're for good causes. When we become depleted ourselves, that's time for reconsideration of where we are. And I am living in the time, for whatever reason, I was knitted into this particular time frame of the earth, where it's becoming pretty evident, although I don't know how to grasp it, that we are being called to our own spiritual basements. Because the world is too fast. It is like a swarm of locusts. It happens. The swarm of locusts descended upon this new presidency in our country from the entire globe in a second. Now, the swarm of locusts also descended on the last presidency, only in reverse order. That's all. Nothing was a bad thing. I can't think of one bad thing that was ever said or done by this president, unless I was happened to be on, which I haven't been. I'm sure that there were certain websites or whatever that didn't like him, but there, you just never heard anything bad. Well, it's like, watch out. That doesn't mean the person's good. It means that whoever's telling you the story is only giving you one part of the history, one part of the light. They're not looking. They've closed their eyes. When you meet someone that no one doesn't like, lots of people don't like me, but when you meet someone that no one doesn't like, to have a little antenna up, because they may not be. Do you really know a saint that everybody loved? Do you know Jesus? Oh, well, obviously a bunch of people didn't like him. So it's very rare. I can't even imagine some of our best spiritual leaders. They weren't liked by everybody. There's a little bit of a danger sign in someone who is liked by everyone or someone who's vilified by everyone. But let's go here real quickly to look at what Robert Wicks was talking about when he came to his moment where his wife says, why? What happened when he said his day was terrible? Did something happen or someone say something to ruin your day? No, I replied. Then what makes you say your day was terrible? Because as I went to answer you, I realized I just felt like crying, as I told you before. I lost my place. Unbeknownst to her. Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong. Oh, I totally lost my place. Okay. Then he says, I recognized what it was. It wasn't one specific thing. It was a series of almost unrecognized ones. It wasn't some great problem I had to deal with that day. Instead, as I sat there reflecting, I began to see that over the past few weeks, without realizing it, I had begun to absorb other people's anxieties, sadness, helplessness, and hopelessness until I could no longer continue to help them. See, that is what Luke said Jesus warned against. Cares of life. His job is a beautiful, noble job. He sounds like a fantastic, wonderful, faithful, loyal friend, husband, father, worker. He sounds amazing. He sounds like everything I wished I was. And yet, he's speaking what Luke said. He's speaking that he began to absorb people's anxieties, sadnesses, helplessness, hopelessnesses, until I could no longer continue to help them. I had taken in all the abuse, loneliness, financial and marital difficulties, sexual addictions, interpersonal rebuffs, angers and hardships, and I felt slowly defeated by them. I could now fully appreciate what a student once shared with me in a reflection paper. Quote, I am amazed that so much sadness can fit into my body. I think that no matter how intelligent we are or how well we take care of ourselves, both acute and chronic stress will occasionally occur. I have learned in my work that the trauma, pressures, busyness, and darkness around us are not the only problems. The real difficulty arises when we don't sit down regularly to take the measure of our lives, whether the times be good or difficult. Paradoxically, difficult times can offer graced moments in a more striking way than the good times can. Through reflection, they can bring us back to the recognition that we can't avoid all trauma or stress. Moreover, we are called neither to win nor to abandon the fight, to be sensitive, joyful, compassionate person, but we are called to live fully. Yet we also must appreciate that we can only rid the world of darkness through those ways available to us, which reflects back on what I said in the very beginning. We only have the toolbox that we have. And your toolbox is totally different than mine, and mine is totally different than others. But yet together, we totally get each other. I am Dr. Michelle. We're going to dive back into that on the other side of the break. 573-4BREAD-4.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. This is your host, Dr. Michelle. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. DM live at breadboxmedia.com. You can write to me with any question, concern, correction, anything you'd like. I like it all. It's all good. And hopefully nothing mean, but you know, if you need to, you need to. Anyway, you can also call 573-4BREAD-4 during our live broadcast, and all of our archives, all of our replays, our on-demands are at breadboxmedia.podbean.com. And all you have to do is log on, scroll over to the side, scroll down to Dr. Michelle Live, and click on that, and you've got access to so many on-demand programs. So, subjects all over the place. So let's talk about action reaction and how that has to do with coarsened hearts because of your cares of life. You know, that doesn't mean you go, oh, okay, I won't care anymore. Just like people, oh, let it go. Well, it's not as easy as that, is it? But we have to be honest with ourselves. But sometimes it takes actually just a little somebody with a different perspective for us to be able to. It's not a matter that we're actually lying to ourselves. Oftentimes we do, but it's a matter that sometimes we just get so caught up and so boxed in, embroiled in our own definition that we can't get out. I gave you the example before of my first experience with that in the tech world was with Pandora, which drove me to distraction because I didn't want to keep being fed something that was a branch of what I already was interested in. How would I know that I might like jazz if I don't even know it exists? How would I know that I might like rap if I don't know it exists because some algorithm somewhere decides that because I happen to like Strauss waltzes or Pachelbel's Canon or Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, they're going to just keep feeding me more of the same. Or I look at Bob Dylan one day or Mississippi John Hurt. Maybe I have an eclectic nature where I want to know what I don't know. That's my whole life. I want to know what I don't know. I don't want to be fed what I already know. What is the use in that but to keep me bound? Or to keep you bound. That's all there is. Having the same issue on Netflix. Somebody suggests I look at something. Now it's because you watch this, you might like this, or because you clicked on this, here's some other things you like. And I can't get out of it. I can't undo those things. I say, take all those away and pretend you don't know me or think you know me from your algorithm and just let me have some choices. Because maybe today I want to see what a Korean drama is like. Maybe tomorrow I want to be exposed to a documentary on a gentleman in England who has a puppy. Maybe I want to know about the spiritual aspects of some saint somewhere. Maybe I want to see a murder mystery. Let me be the judge of that. I can skip over something that doesn't look of interest to me, but I'll never know whether I like it or don't like it if I don't get a chance to examine it. That's the difference to action and reaction. We all react, and because we react so predictably, we can be led to purchase or to like or to think anything. So let's go back to Robert Wicks when he talked about the fact that he realized he'd been absorbed in other people's lonelinesses. Now, we can look at him as an example because his job is one of dealing with the professionals who deal with trauma. So, of course, they are not only going to have their own as a human beings, traumas and problems and issues, some of the best people in the world to help those others who are so harmed and broken are those who are harmed and broken themselves, if they understand that they are and don't use that as a screen, keeping it from themselves. So he realized that of all the times that he did this, it's called compassion burnout, or a lot of psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, first responders, they have burnout because there's only so much tragedy you can take in. And pretty soon your walls come down, tumbling down. And like he said, that's what he realized. But then he realized when he said that, I think that no matter how intelligent we are, we have both acute and chronic stress will occasionally occur. He said, I have learned in my work that the traumas, pressures, busyness, and darkness are not the problems. What he said was the problems is that we don't always take measure of our lives, which in Catholic world, the broad term examination of conscience comes to mind, but we always have it in a nice, neat, stepwise form. But he's talking about something more open and deeper. So here's the thing. When he said that we can only appreciate these things when we use the tools that are available to us, our ways, and your ways might be different than my ways. So for him, the tools he has comes from the world he lives in and the human being that he is. He says, we often seek security by either running away from our feelings of discouragement or attempting to conquer them. Instead, we need to stay with them. In Jungian terms, that's Carl Jung, we need to make friends with our shadow. The Zen masters have another way of saying this. We need to learn to, quote, ride the dragon, unquote. How we can do this is a subject that I will develop in this brief book. And that's his book, Riding the Dragon. And as I said, I think he's actually Catholic. And it was he's been published by Ave Maria Press. He's definitely Christian. He is... he's at Hahnemann Medical College in the faculty of Loyola University. He really is quite an accomplished person. So he says, we need to see how we have relied too much on ourselves and that in focusing on the problems of the world, we have often forgotten to see what is beautiful and right in it. Now he goes on to talk about how he realized that he was going to a place in that despair, that moment of despair, that was actually his spiritual basement. And that is the thing that I think we all need to look at. He says, into the basement, this is, I'm fast forwarding. He said, my slide into darkness was surprisingly swift. I was in a free fall. As I sat at my lowest point, I realized I was experiencing a reverse spiritual transfusion. Slowly, I could feel the energy, the hope, and my consciousness of belief in myself fading. So this is one of the beautiful keys that I still can't even grasp myself, that sometimes, in the he put it just like many spiritual masters have, in new terms, St. John of the Cross, Dark Night of the Soul, a reverse spiritual transfusion, where, as St. John of the Cross had talked about, we have transfusions, or he called it a consolation, in our early days where we're just filled with light, joy, and oh my gosh, the world is this fabulous supernatural place. And then we're thrust into darkness, which oftentimes is the reality of the spiritual place in us, the place that we don't understand. Reaction versus action. Action implies a tenacious motivation forward. It is a force acting upon. It is an action. We take an action. A reaction is responding to stimuli. In the medical terms, response of a muscle or other living tissue to stimuli. In other words, if I put an electrode to your muscle, I can make it twitch. So if you put an electrode of a past memory into you, or you put an electrode of the internet as you're looking at the New York Times and every Times and every news story in the world with 1,000 little bee stings, you have an automatic reaction to that. You either reviled, or you either go to it, or you just lay down and accept it. After so much, you sometimes just lay down and accept it. Or that little flash over on the side of that purse you were looking at 2 weeks ago, it starts coming up and you want it. Pretty soon you're going to react and maybe press on it. They count on that. That is a natural way that we go. And what he's saying is that when he really slowed down enough, he could feel himself draining. He said that there was once a picture that he saw of a squeezed out ragdoll that had been put through a ringer, a ragdoll put through the ringer. And the ragdoll is sitting there all smashed on the other side. And the caption to the poster was, "The truth will set you free, but you will feel miserable while it's happening." And sometimes that's the truth. We react in all the ways we can, either functional or dysfunctional, to not see the truth, not to see, oh, how bad we are. Sometimes we think that's the truth. We're not humble enough. We're not this enough. That's still an intellectual process. You have to go to a space where openness to God revealing you to you, as we started from the very beginning, we're going back now, connecting that little purse string, pulling it tight. The only you you are is the you God needs, but he needs you being you. He needs you not to deny who he says you are, either because you've decided there's a better way, you've decided what is good and what is not good. He gives you the guidelines, and many of them are right in yourself. We're going to continue this theme as the week goes on. You're welcome to write me, DM live at redboxmedia.com. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You've been with me today. Thank you so much on Dr. Michelle Live.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.